Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our Totally Groovy Wednesday show here at Catholic Answers Live. Great first hour, great second hour coming up this hour. Our guest is J.D. Flynn, Editor-in-Chief of the Catholic News Agency, and we are going to talk about the church in the news. So if you have any questions about the church in the news, 888-318-7884, our number, or if you prefer the spelling version, 888-31-TRUTH. J.D. Flynn, as I said, is Editor-in-Chief of the Catholic News Agency, which is a news reporting arm of the EWTN family with bureaus in the U.S., Europe, and South America. Flynn has written for First Things, National Review, National Catholic Register, and a whole bunch of other publications. He holds a licentiate in canon law from the Catholic University of America and a bachelor's and master's degree from Franciscan University in Steubenville. J.D. Flynn, thanks for taking the time to discuss the church in the news with us today.
Oh, Cy, thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So if I may ask you about Catholic News Agency, I have witnessed its growth over the years from starting out a very small operation to becoming now an arm of mighty EWTN. Tell us about the agency and how you ended up the boss of it all.
Well, I ended up here at CNA by providence. I was invited to join this great team, and I started about 3 months ago, and it's been really a whirlwind for me of learning about all the good things that CNA does and seeing how it is that I can help. But CNA, you're right, has had really extraordinary growth over the past decade. It was started as a service to diocesan newspapers and other Catholic publications, providing news from the U.S. and from around the world, covering the church and covering the events of the world, and trying to do all of that with a Catholic lens to help Catholics to see the world, to understand the world, to act in the world, to think about the world as Catholics, to think about the issues of the day through the lens of the truth of the gospel. And we have grown in an extraordinary way, and I really credit that to our team, our writers, our editors, our video producers, our social media managers, and we continue to provide content, news content, to diocesan newspapers and other Catholic apostolates, and then we have a really great online presence through social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and we're there just trying to give Catholics a lens on the world and what's happening in the world through the eyes of faith.
And that bit that you said about diocesan newspapers, you're appearing, that took a little time. I mean, I suppose it takes time to build up the trust of editors of diocesan newspapers. But I see, when I read diocesan newspapers, more and more of the work of a Catholic News Agency is there. That's a real service. Are you a subscription service, or how does it work?
So we are an editor service. We provide all of our content to Catholic media apostolates free of charge. So you mentioned that we're an apostolate of EWTN, and it's the generosity of EWTN supporters that allows us to do that. But we make our content available to diocesan newspapers, to the National Catholic Register, to other Catholic apostolates free of charge, because we think that what we're doing is, we hope that what we're doing is helpful and useful to Catholics. And we think diocesan media, diocesan newspapers, and other kinds of diocesan media are a really important part of the church's life. Yeah. And as media changes so much now, we want to find ways to continue to support them, especially as so many diocesan news outlets, newspapers, sort of try to navigate the digital continent. We have a great staff of young people who really understand the digital continent. They're natives to it. They think online as, you know, all the time, and they understand social media really well. And so we've been able to help diocesan news outlets kind of navigate that transition as well, which is a great thing to be able to do.
J.D. Flynn, Editor-in-Chief of the Catholic News Agency, is our guest. We're talking about the church in the news today. 888-318-7884 is our number. I have to say, in the world today, one of the things that is needed, and I do think this is what you're providing, is reporting. That is, so much of reporting, I'll tell you, even when I read what are well-established journalistic outlets, isn't really reporting. It's analyzing or sharing opinions and all that kind of thing. Catholics, I mean, the idea of know the truth and the truth shall set you free is a pretty strong directive from the Lord. How important do you think it is that there are outlets that are reporting, that aren't just, you know, taking a bit from the Twitter and the Facebook and the, and I know you, but and other sources and slapping something together and making some comments about it, but actually getting out there and reporting about what's going on in the world?
That's a great question, and you're right. It is really important. In the digital world that most of us now inhabit, we're so stratified and so segmented and so divided, and the ways that we consume news has become very divided as well and very stratified. But also, so much of journalism has changed and is changing, and really kind of being in a place trying to understand the truth of what's happening and trying to report that truth. Journalists report the news. They provide context, and they provide, you know, in talking with experts and witnesses and people who are involved in things, they provide not their own interpretation, but they provide a way of understanding what's happening and why it matters. And so we try to really be where the stories are, and then we try to talk with the leaders of our church and Catholic leaders who are involved in critical issues of the day to understand how Catholics can really interpret what's happening in our world right now. And as we are right now in such a divided and fractured culture, it's more and more important for us to be able to grasp the truth and to see that truth in the light of faith. You're absolutely right about that. So I'm really proud of our team. I mean, our reporters are everywhere, and they're looking for stories, and they're talking to sources, and they're just trying to get at the truth. And that's more important for us than, creating kind of getting clickbait or sensationalizing things. What's most important for us is really telling good stories and telling them well.
888-318-7884 is our number. I don't want to keep you from callers. We'll go to callers. But how much of that task for you then at the Catholic News Agency is as a, I don't want to say corrective, but maybe as a source that will tell the truth about the church in a more objective way than you'll get in the so-called objective media that often is grinding an axe or has an agenda? How much burden do you feel to do that?
You know, I think that one of the kind of great myths that has grown up, it's probably a relatively modern myth, but the idea of the totally dispassionate, totally objective journalist is a myth. There's no such thing. Everybody has a perspective and everybody has a bias, not even necessarily in a bad way, just a way that through which a lens through which they look at what's happening. And unfortunately, I think what you see a lot in coverage about the church is people who are really bringing in not even necessarily on purpose, but just because of their own viewpoints, they struggle to understand the church on her own terms or to understand what the church is doing in the context of the gospel. And because religiosity is something that I think a lot of secular journalists have a very difficult time understanding, why faith would be a motivation for people to act as they do. And so I think because we come at journalism with an awareness of our own faith and how that impacts what we see and what we understand, we're able to understand the faith of others and the faith of the church. And because we see that the church is a sacrament of salvation, we're able to understand other people who do that. We're able to understand Catholics who do that. And so to present what's happening in the church on her own terms and as she understands herself. We're not trying to, you know, our job when we're doing journalism is not to do apologetics. It's not to do catechism, you know, explicitly. Our job is to tell the truth about what's happening. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes it's very difficult. But part of the truth of the church is the church's reality, that she is a sacrament of salvation, that she is a supernatural reality. And understanding that the church understands herself that way and understanding why helps us to get at what's really happening. At least I hope.
I think it's a well-founded hope. 888-318-7884 is our number. The Church in the News is our topic today, and we talk with a man who spends his life in the news trenches as the editor-in-chief of the Catholic news agency, J.D. Flynn. If you have questions about what's being reported about the Church in the News, or maybe what's not being reported about in the news, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your calls for J.D. Flynn right after this.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
It's October, and as we head to the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off its annual winter sale in its newly redesigned online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off the hundreds of great Catholic resources we have in our online store from now till the end of the year. To get those discounts, just go to shop.catholic.com. That's shop.catholic.com.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are discussing the Church in the News today with the editor and chief of the Catholic news agency, J.D. Flynn. J.D., how about we go right to calls?
Sounds great.
All right, we go to Patrick in Rockwall, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Patrick, you are on with J.D. Flynn. Your question, please.
Howdy, guys. So my question is, if I want sort of kind of a live stream news, sort of like the Associated Press has, but with less of a slant that the Associated Press has kind of taken on, what would you guys suggest? And is there like a Catholic version of the Associated Press out there?
Well, in some ways, that's what we're trying to do at Catholic News Agency. I'd say check us out at CatholicNewsAgency.com or download our app onto your phone or follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We're trying to report 24/7 with breaking news, especially about the church or about things of interest to believers. We've got reporters in Rome, reporters in D.C., on Capitol Hill, going to the White House, going to the Capitol. Reporters through our sister agencies around the world, and so we're trying to do that. Now, the difference between us and Associated Press in terms of how much we put out is that they have hundreds of times more reporters and writers than we do, but I hope we're doing, I hope we're providing regular breaking and frequent news updates for Catholics who want to, who are looking for that.
Okay.
Sweet.
Patrick?
That works for me.
All right.
Get our app on your phone if you want, Patrick.
Oh, you should get our app too. Catholic.com. Yeah, get our app. Our app's even better. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, JD.
They're two good apps.
Yes, they're both excellent apps, but ours is a little bit better. go to Catholic.com to get it. You know, they have this, like, you know, NPR and the National Public Radio, and they do news and commentary and that kind of stuff all day. Maybe we could get like a Catholic kind of thing like that. Are you guys doing any like audio news or news reporting that someone could tune into, for example? Not from 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific time on the West Coast, of course. But is that something that's out there?
Well, it is coming. So our partners at the National Catholic Register have Register Radio, which is a great show that talks about the news of the week in a good and Catholic way. We will launch our Catholic News Agency podcast in January, and in fact, this is the very first place that I am announcing that. So you get breaking news all to yourself.
What?
But we'll launch our podcast in January, and the idea is just to have an ongoing conversation with newsmakers and with the people who are reporting the news about what's happening. So I hope that we're going to be able to do some of that. But yeah, I think
you should have Catholic radio hosts on too
to talk about what's
going on in their life and stuff.
I'm going to slot you down in our list of guests. Right
what?
Now.
I'm sorry, I wasn't talking about me. 888-318-7884 is the number. So you cover things too. This strikes me as something so valuable that you do that you're just not going to see covered really in other places. There was that a conference on people with disabilities at the Vatican that you recently covered. How do you decide about covering that stuff? And what did you cover there?
Yeah, so that's a great story that a great event that we recently had a bunch of stories about, actually. You know, in Rome, there's so much going on. We cover, of course, every day when the Pope celebrates Mass in Rome, we cover his homily. We cover the Wednesday audience that he does. We cover events that are, you know, news that's breaking from the Vatican. But we also try to cover just the panoply of things that the Roman Curia is doing. And this is a great example of a conference that was put on by one of the offices of the Vatican, in addition to catechists from around the world. And they had hundreds of catechists from around the world talking about the question of how to meaningfully form people in faith who have intellectual disabilities. And so sharing ideas and best practices, a woman with Down syndrome gave a very beautiful talk about her own experience with disabilities. And we were able to interview her after she gave that talk. Some curial officials gave some talks. Holy Father himself met with this group. This was this conference was an idea that Pope Francis was really championing and trying to move forward in the Vatican. And so we were able to be there and to hear some of these best ideas and best practices about catechesis for people with disabilities, and then to do some coverage about it. I have our family has two children with Down syndrome, and so this was a kind of special thing for me that we were able to cover. And I was really glad that we were able to give it the coverage it deserves. But we try to look and see what are the issues that are happening in the life of the church, and how is the church, what are the issues that are being discussed in the world, and how is the church responding to them? So the rights of people with disabilities, the inclusive education for people with disabilities, the needs of people with disabilities, all those are part of the public conversation right now. And the church is responding with her own conversation about how to catechize people with intellectual disabilities. And so it seemed like something that really fits in what we're trying to do, which is show the breadth of the church's ministry and her efforts to form people in faith.
But I have to tell you, I mean, like you, the church is doing that, but and the topic of the show is the church in the news. But in some ways, it's the church not in the news, because apart from your coverage, I wonder how much that ever would have been covered. And I, just to prepare for the show today, I Googled Catholic Church to see what news would come up. And so then the Google News app there, and every single story was about the Catholic bishops in the United States translated the rite of exorcism into English. And it's a nothing story. It bears on nothing. It's just a translation of a text. And yet it has the word exorcism in it. And I sometimes feel that we Catholics are reported on as if we're exotic animals, kind of. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, I think it goes back to, and first of all, I think that there is some merit to some of the coverage about the translation of the rite of exorcism. I don't want to totally denigrate it, because there are other Catholic news apostolates that covered it and I think did it well. But your point is one that I keep coming back to, which is that the secular media has just a hard time understanding what we're about. And so, yeah, these things that are kind of flashy, and exorcism is very flashy because, you know, so many movies and things like that, the mystique of exorcisms in or what people think exorcisms are in popular culture. So sort of the church gets these sort of very kind of kitschy niche coverage, where our beliefs are seen to be sort of like a cute sort of old-fashioned set of ideas, or very, very oftentimes nearly vitriolic coverage of our views on moral issues or
social
teaching.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Let's go to Francesca driving through Massachusetts, listening to the Station of the Cross, 1460 AM, which sounds almost like a description of heaven. Francesca, your question for JD.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Pretty much. Talk as directly as you can into the phone. It's not a great connection.
Okay. Let's see. My question is, I'm a Catholic convert 3 years, and so I've been listening to EWTN for years, and I'm really enjoying EWTN News nightly and the world over. And so my question is, there's good pro-life coverage, which I really appreciate, and at the same time, I find that there's, almost next to none, except when they quote Pope Francis, but next to none coverage about the environment. And then also, especially, what our current administration is or is not doing about it.
Francesca, I'm just going to repeat it for any listener who may not be able to, because the connection is kind of rough. So Francesca is asking J.D. Flynn, editor-in-chief at the Catholic News Agency, why so little coverage about the environment, except when Pope Francis says something about the environment in the Catholic press, and also why so little coverage of the Trump administration or the present administration and their environmental approach, that kind of thing. J.D.?
Well, I guess, Francesca, first of all, thanks for your call, and I'm glad you're watching EWTN News Nightly. They're a partner of ours. I hope we're covering environmental issues and covering them responsibly. I just took a look at our site, and in the past few months, we've covered the Catholic Climate Covenant, which is an initiative of the USCCB, pretty extensively, and I'm glad we've been able to do that coverage, because we don't want to be, and this gets to the heart of your question in some ways, Catholics are not... we're Catholics before we're partisan, and our beliefs are broad, and no one political party expresses the fullness of the Catholic faith or the moral and social teachings of the Catholic faith. And so we have to be very careful, I think, to avoid putting a partisan identity or a political kind of ideology ahead of our faith and ahead of the teachings of the church. So I do hope that we're covering environmental issues and covering them well. At the same time, it's true that I think the church or Catholic media apostolates and even maybe the messaging of the church give priority to certain issues. In Laudato Si, Pope Francis says that you can't have true ecological justice in a society which allows for abortion, the unjust and direct killing of unborn children. He says that they're absolutely incompatible. And John Paul II talked about that a lot in Evangelium Vitae. He says that you can't have justice of any kind in society if it's predicated on the falsehood and lie of abortion. And so we see certain, at least from our vantage point at CNA, we trying to follow the guidance of the church, of Pope John Paul II, of Pope Benedict, and of Pope Francis in Laudato Si. We do see a primacy and an urgency to certain moral issues, and perhaps that leads us to call Catholics' attention to them. But I hope at the same time we are talking as Catholics about the environment and our responsibility to be good stewards for the world the Lord has given us, because it's right there. It's right there in Genesis, laid out clearly for us that we have an obligation to be stewards of creation, and it's an important thing. So I think it's a both and. Yes, we're covering issues that Pope Francis says are the absolute moral priorities of our time, especially the scourge of abortion. But I hope we're covering these questions about our stewardship of the environment as well.
Francesca, we do have that bad connection with you, but I'd like to give you a chance to respond because I think there are many people who share your concerns. And so your response to J.D.
Okay. Thank you so much. I did have another question, and that was, is it that Catholic News Agency is covering it and EWTN News Nightly is just not doing it or is not, Is that the reality? What is happening?
Okay, J.D.?
I'm not sure that I can really speak to the coverage of other agencies, even the ones that we partner with. But I know that for EWTN News Nightly, which we are a partner with, I know that reporting on the full teachings of the faith is important and is something that we all take seriously. I think we're all trying to do self-examination about how to report on the fullness of the faith and of Catholic social teaching. So I just can't speak to what another news apostle is doing or isn't doing, in large part because I don't know. I probably don't have just the expertise to be able to say, but also because those decisions are a discernment that I think we have to make on a day-to-day basis, and we often make them on the fly, and I think we hope we do the best we can to cover the panoply of Catholic social teaching. And I think that, as far as I can see, our partners at EWTN News Nightly and our other partner apostolates are doing that as well as they can. But your point is well taken in that it's always a discernment for us, for any Catholic news entity, to discern how to cover things. And I think, you know, again, the Church's own teaching gives us some guidance, which is that there are some issues which have necessarily a kind of prioritization. And abortion in the United States is our great national shame. And so I'm not ashamed if we cover that day in and day out because it matters.
Francesca, thank you very, very much for that call. J.D. Flynn is our guest this hour. We're talking the Church in the News. Any question you have on the Church in the News, how the Church is reported on, how the Church is not reported on, or a news story you'd like to know more about, J.D. Flynn here to take your calls, the editor-in-chief of the Catholic News Agency. More right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Catholic radio, I believe, is the greatest tool for evangelization that the Church has today. And I know this because we hear from people all over the world that tell us all the time they came to faith in Christ, in the Catholic Church, through Catholic radio. Guy that lives right next door to you, he might not ask you about your Catholic faith, but he'll ask us. He'll call in and say, "Tell me about the Catholic Church."
Dr. David Anders thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don't forget about our annual winter sale going right on right now, despite the fact that winter is nowhere in sight. It goes until the last day of the year, December 34th, and you get all books, CDs, DVDs, ebooks, tracks, and MP3s for 20% off until the very last day of the year. It's not the 34th? Okay. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at all the great deals we have. Shop.catholic.com. This hour, we're talking about the Church in the News, and J.D. Flynn is our guest. J.D. Flynn is the perfect guy to talk about the Church in the News because that's his life. He is the editor-in-chief of the Catholic News Agency. J.D., When we went to the break, you were talking a little bit about abortion as our great national shame. But one of the ways that the Catholic Church is making itself distinct from the culture more and more is its teaching on marriage. Not everybody likes that. As a matter of fact, I would venture to guess maybe the majority are not thrilled with that. That the Catholic Church does not just go along. Although I do think there's some unfairness too in about how that's reported. But now at Georgetown University, you've got a pro-marriage group formed there, and that is controversial. And why at a Catholic university is a pro-marriage group controversial? What's going on there?
So this is a group. It's a great question. It was a story that we're continuing to follow. The student group called Love Saxa. I think Saxa is some kind of term that they use at Georgetown. I don't exactly know. But this group's called Love Saxa, and they're a student group at Georgetown. And they their focus is really on encouraging their fellow students to chastity, on fighting pornography, on encouraging them to have healthy relationships. And in the context of that, they have a position on marriage that's consistent with the position of and teachings of the Catholic Church. So they teach that marriage is a lifelong covenant between a man and a woman, and that marriage is the best environment for children, and the children have a right to a mother and father. And so they teach these things, although really a lot of their work has to do with helping people have freedom from pornography and find chastity in their relationships. But they've come under fire this semester at Georgetown because a number of other students have taken offense at their stance, their views, which are the views of the Catholic Church about marriage, and said that they represent intolerance and homophobia, and that they foster, you know, because of their teaching of the representation of the teachings of the Church, foster an atmosphere of intolerance or possibly even hatred of people who have same-sex attraction. And so a petition was filed by some students, a student senator at Georgetown, and supported by some student or gay pride organizations at Georgetown, asking that this group be sanctioned, possibly lose its funding from the university or lose its right to use university facilities in its work. And the Hoya, the newspaper, the student newspaper at Georgetown, wrote an editorial affirming this, saying that these students are promoting intolerance and homophobia by teaching what the Church teaches at a Catholic university. And so they'll have a hearing. Their hearing was originally scheduled for the 23rd of October, but it was pushed back. They asked for it to be pushed back because they got very short notice about the hearing. But they'll have a hearing on October 30th with the leadership of the kind of university student association, student leaders of the university student association, which will make a recommendation about whether they should continue to be funded or continue to be officially recognized by the university. It's really a strange story because these are Catholic students who believe Catholic things at a Catholic university. And thus far, it's their fellow students who have lashed out against that and said that that's not consistent with Georgetown's values and those kinds of things. The administration of Georgetown is letting the process play out. They haven't they haven't really weighed in a substantive way yet. Although, to be fair, that there is a process that student groups go through when there's a complaint filed. And so we'll continue to cover the story to see if indeed these students are judged at a Catholic university to be intolerant or homophobic because of their Catholic views. And if so, how the university will respond to that and how the Church will be able to respond to that.
Wow. That's one. Watch this space. I mean, we're going to follow more of that. You can get, I assume you will be doing ongoing coverage at the Catholic News Agency on that.
We will. So I'm proud to say we broke this story after the Hoya reported it this week last week. And we've been able to talk with the president of Love Saxa, and we're kind of soliciting some responses from Catholic leaders now, and then we'll wait to see what happens with the hearing and continue to cover it. But it's an important story. I mean, the one thing it tells us, first of all, is just, how interesting it is that so many students at a Catholic university are offended or upset that Catholic teaching is going on there, even by their fellow students.
Yes.
And how much of really that, what that tells us is how much of a work of evangelization is needed, even at Catholic universities. But it'll also be interesting to see. I mean, the leadership of Love Saxa, the group, have said that they're optimistic that the university will support them, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
J.D. Flynn, the editor-in-chief of Catholic News Agency, is our guest this hour. We're talking the church in the news, and we go now to Samantha in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 1430. Samantha, your question for J.D. Flynn.
Hi. Hi, Cy. Hi, J.D. Thanks for having me on.
Hi.
Well, I'm this wonderful work you're doing. I've thought for a long time that Catholic news needs something sort of analogous to the AP, and it seems like that's what you're doing. I'm calling because I am a medical feature journalist, and I also write for the financial sector, and I would love to get involved in Catholic News Agency helping you, and I was wondering if there's any openings, anything. I would even do it as a volunteer for a while. You know, it would be wonderful.
So we're doing job interviews on the air now. Is what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, the producer let me in.
I'm glad to. No, it's wonderful. We need good journalists. We need journalists who are trained and able to do the job in Catholic media. So, are you growing and hiring?
We are growing. I mean, I don't know what we have right now, but we are growing, and we always want to talk with good people. So, I'll say this: maybe what you could do is, if you have Twitter, reach out to me on Twitter at JD Flynn, or if you reach out to us through the email address on our website, and just remind us that you and I talked on the radio. So news@catholicna.com. And sure, I'd love to talk, but I'd make another point too, which is, you know, we do need good Catholics who are doing Catholic journalism. We also need, and we, I think, really sorely need good and faithful Catholics who are engaged in the work of secular journalism, because I talked about before the fact that secular journalists so frequently have a hard time understanding who the church is or what faith is or why it matters in people's lives. And so we're doing that here at CNA, but I think the more good and faithful Catholics and believers who are a part of the secular media, the more that tide can begin to turn. And so I look at a lot of believers I know who work in secular media, and I think their work is critically important as well, and I'm glad for that. So yeah, let's talk. But I think what you're doing, I think what you're doing, you shouldn't underestimate how important that is as well.
Samantha, thank you very, very much for that call. 888-318-7884. Our call, we're talking the church and the news with J.D. Flynn, editor-in-chief of the Catholic News Agency. J.D., I have to apologize to Vicki from northeastern Minnesota, who called to say winter is around the corner. Apparently, they have a different kind of winter up there than we have down here. Who knew? Who knew it?
Who knew? I'm looking out at snow on the mountains here in Colorado, so San Diego's just its own kind of place.
I wasn't aware of that. Our weather is different. All right, Grover in Marble Falls, Texas, where I bet it's not winter yet, listening on 88.5 FM. Grover, your question for J.D. Flynn.
Thanks, Cy. J.D., have you become suspect of some of these news agencies on the internet and whatnot that claim they're Catholic? I'm really starting to wonder about, especially a couple of them. One of them does a play on words in its name, similar to the radio newscast. And there's another one that uses y'all's initials. And Do you know what they're up to? Are they anti-Catholic, or are they just off base?
You know, the specific sites that you're referring to, I'm not sure about, but I will say, yeah, there is a lot. The internet makes it very easy for there to be a lot of, you know, so-called fake news out there, and Catholicism is not exempt from that. I think we have to be really careful to evaluate when we're reading news. I think we always have to be really careful to evaluate what's going on. Are we getting reported facts? Are we getting, you know, facts at all? Are we getting, when we have commentary or quotes in a story, are they coming from experts? Are they coming directly from a source, or are they being, you know, attributed through a third party or something like that? So media literacy is something that a lot of Americans, not just Catholics, are needing to get better and better at, because there's so much of a profusion of really just, you know, I hate to use the trite phrase, but of fake news, of just kind of all kinds of people with all kinds of agendas representing themselves in as objective and legitimate news agencies who aren't. So again, I'm not familiar with the sites that you're talking about, but it can be difficult even to tell the difference between what's real and what isn't. So the more you can go with sites that you can trust for your news, and with outlets that you can trust for Catholic information, I think the better you are. And it's always good to look, you know, I mean, if you look at an entity's sort of Twitter feed and they have a very small number of followers, that's probably a good sign. If all of their coverage seems to be vitriolic or personally, you know, criticizing people or bashing people, I mean, that's probably a good sign. If they're, again, if their sources don't seem to be legitimate or if they're not talking to expert sources about things, that's probably a good sign that you're not looking at something legitimate. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there and it's easy to share and it's easy for it to get spread. But if you stick with, if you do your best to stick with legitimate news sources, I think you'll be okay. Catholic News Agency, I'd recommend. Catholic Answers, for all of the things it does, I'd recommend. The National Catholic Register, again, EWTN, EWTN News Nightly. Those are good places to go. There are others as well. But we do have to be careful because there's a lot of falsehood out there.
Grover, did that address your concern?
Yeah, in fact, I heard him. Some of them are really tricky. I'll always Google the name of the outfit, and so often it'll just be one guy.
Oh,
right, exactly.
That's smart.
I mean, there are probably people who are just all by themselves doing good stuff, but you got to be careful, too.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. Grover, thank you very much for the call. We're talking the church and the news. I'm going to ask you a little bit about Pope Francis and reporting on Pope Francis and the sometimes controversies that surround our current pope when we come back, JD. So get ready for that. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live. Our number, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, guess what? It's October, and that means Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout in our newly redesigned shop, and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off of hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serva. In Luke 12:39, Jesus told his disciples that they must be prepared for and attentive to whatever he required of them. Basically, he was concerned with the R word, responsibility. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Being responsible means being attentive to another. Even though when people marry, individual freedom is curtailed to a degree, it is when they become parents that being responsible takes on a whole new dimension. Their new child is completely dependent on them. When some people rail at the Catholic Church, usually under all the negative talk lies resentment that something is expected of them. The Lord is clear, with faith comes responsibility. Elsewhere he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who hear the word of God and keep it. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. J.D. Flynn is our guest. J.D. is the editor-in-chief of Catholic News Agency, and we're talking the church in the news. I warned you a little bit that I wanted to ask you about reporting on the Pope, but I want to put it in a wider context. There's some polarized feeling in our culture. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there is. Yeah, I didn't mean to surprise you with that, but there's some polarization. And in many instances, instead of being a communion of love, the church is itself polarized. It imitates the society rather than the other way around. And so I note that some reporting on Pope Francis I wonder how difficult it is. I want to ask you that. How, in this polarized atmosphere, how difficult is it to report on Pope Francis because Catholics are divided, I think?
In this polarized atmosphere, it is difficult to report on everything.
I see.
So I think, you know, Pope Francis is not alone on that. But look, we have a very divided country politically. We are increasingly seeing that we have a divided country socially in many ways. And the church, I think, is in a period where, yeah, there are a lot of differing opinions on the Pope. There are a lot of differing opinions on the church's leadership, on the church's direction. And so that is a challenge. I think, you know, the good thing for us is that we're not in the business of bashing anybody, and we want to be loyal sons and daughters of the church. And so we believe at Catholic News Agency that the Pope is the successor of St. Peter and the principle of unity in the church. And we are edified by his ministry, edified by his witness. I had a chance to meet the Pope 2 weeks ago, and it was a really spiritual experience.
Wait, that's, really talk about name dropping. What? You just slide that in. You just met the Pope 2 weeks ago?
You know what's funny is he's at a meeting today and he just told somebody, yeah, I met the editor of Catholic News Agency 2 weeks ago. So
I bet he did. I'm sure he did. I bet he's been telling everybody.
Yeah, I did. So that was a great privilege. But so, I mean, we want to report on the Pope because he's the principle of unity. It's a different thing, I think, and it's and something that is a challenge to report on ideas. And there's a lot of disagreement in the church right now about theological ideas and their pastoral implementation. And I'm a canon lawyer by training, and there's a lot of debate about canonical principles and the way that they interplay with the church's life and ministry. And we do want to report on those ideas. We want to report on the controversy. We want to report on what the perennial teaching of the church is and how we can understand what's happening now in what Pope Benedict called a hermeneutic of continuity.
Yeah.
And that means that we look to see what's unified between what's happening now, how we can understand what's happening now in light of 2,000 years of the church's tradition and life. And so we do want to do that, and we want to recognize where there are issues to be hammered out, where there's ambiguity, where there's uncertainty. And we want to do that again because we want to be loyal sons and daughters of the church. We want to be faithful to what the church teaches, and part of that means we want to know what the church teaches and understand it well. But we at Catholic News Agency are genuinely blessed by the ministry of Francis and by his witness, as we were by Benedict and as we were by John Paul. Most of us are
but
too
JD,
young to remember anybody before John Paul. But
oh, I can't. Come on, you're a young kid. All right. So, but yeah. I guess my point is, like, there's going to be people who will say different things about what Francis has done this and what that. Some are very, you know, solid Catholic voices. Some are members of the episcopacy and all that. And so do you just report, just straight report, this person said this, this person said that? I mean, how do you – or you? I imagine you don't want to gloss controversy, but you also don't want to fan the flames of it.
We don't want to gloss controversy, and we don't want to fan the flames of it. That's exactly right. Somebody said to me today that it sometimes feels like there is a camp that just has almost – you know, a small camp in the church that has almost a sort of cult of personality where it's like, you know, seeing the Pope as a person who surpasses anything that's ever come before, and that's not where we want to be. And there's a camp in the church too that the Pope can't say anything without being the subject of criticism, and we don't want to be in that camp either. In fact, if you spend 5 minutes with either camp and you didn't want to run and where you want to run is into the heart of the church, which sees the Pope as, again, as the successor of St. Peter, but recognizing there are real theological controversies going on right now, as there were in the time of John Paul and as there were in the time of Benedict. And so what we're trying to do, I hope we're doing it, is report on the theological questions and talk with experts who can contextualize them for us. So when we want to understand Amoris Laetitia, we want to understand it in the context of Familiaris Consortio and in the context of Veritatis Splendor and the context of Casta Canubi, in the context of the church's tradition and teaching. And so we try and talk with experts who can break down how we can understand what's happening now, how we can understand what's being said now in light of all that's come before us. You know, the idea that tradition is sort of the democracy of the dead, that those who came before us have the right to speak to us. And so we try to hear what's happening now in light of everything that's come before us as well.
888-318.
But it's not easy, you're right.
No, I imagine. 888-318-7884 is our number. There's another one thing, another story I wanted to talk to you, ask you about before I go back to callers. I have not really kept up on this story. Heard it today, and it's apparently already over. But this undocumented teenager in the United States who on whom an abortion was performed either today or yesterday. What is this story about?
Yeah, this is a very sad story. A young girl, a teenage girl, came to the United States from Central America. She snuck across the border, and she was detained. And after coming to the United States, discovered that she was 15 weeks pregnant. She was in federal custody in a shelter in Texas, and wanted to procure an abortion. And the government's position was that they federal funding can't support or assist or enable abortion. And the government's position was that they did not want to be compelled to assist or enable with an abortion, which is the unjust killing of an unborn child. And so they wouldn't facilitate this or provide access to, provide medical access as they would in any case, but provide access to an abortion clinic or anything like that. They felt that that would be a violation of federal law. And so the girl, with the help of the American Civil Liberties Union, filed a lawsuit arguing that she should have a right to an abortion. And it went through the court, and one decision and another decision and another decision appealed. And yesterday, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals decided that the girl had a right to have an abortion, and the federal government had an obligation to assist her in procuring that abortion, and ordered that be done if the girl chose it. And regrettably, it was reported today that she had an abortion. So it's a very sad story. Of course, we're praying for this young girl who clearly is probably caught up in something that's much bigger than her, but also is suffering the pains of having had an abortion and the trauma that comes along with that. So we're praying for her. It represents a lot of questions about what role the government has in providing an abortion. The government argued that it would be enabling an abortion by facilitating this girl going to an abortion clinic, and that federal law doesn't allow that. And yet the courts decided that they had an obligation to do exactly that. So that seems to be a real shift in understanding of the role of government, and even in what choice means, because in this case, not only did the court rule that the girl had the right to have a choice to have an abortion, but that the federal government had to facilitate that for her. So that's probably an evolution in law. We're going to be talking to lawyers and other scholars about that, but it's a sad story for sure.
It does seem like all this choice that we have, it seems to keep limiting other people's choices, though. I mean, I know.
Right.
So if you just say the words bake a cake, or bake the cake, everybody knows what you're talking about nowadays. Is religious freedom currently and in the coming years, do you anticipate it to be among the more important things that you have to report upon?
Yeah, domestically and internationally. So, the Trump administration the Department of Justice issued really strong guidelines on religious liberty a couple of weeks ago, and saying that it would make that the government would have an obligation to make every single effort to respect the religious liberty of its citizens and not to impose on them. The president rolled back a lot of the provisions of the HHS mandate, recognizing thereby recognized the right of religious believers not to have to facilitate the use of contraception. But the challenge is all this stuff is happening kind of by executive order, back and forth. So if the administration changes, what else will change? It's a strange time for religious liberty because it seems to be caught in kind of a partisan ping pong game. And that's domestically. Internationally, religious persecution around the globe is being widely reported as being in many ways an all-time high. That Christians especially, but other religious believers are suffering persecution, forced relocation, martyrdom, Christians facing martyrdom around the world at exorbitant rates. The Chinese government announced this week that they would be cracking down on illicit religious groups, which includes the underground Catholic Church in China. So we face religious liberty threats here and abroad. I was talking to Archbishop Laurie, the Archbishop of Baltimore, who's headed the Religious Liberty Committee of the USCCB for several years. And he said something important. He said that when we protect religious liberty in the United States, we serve as a light to people in the rest of the world who are being persecuted for their faith and who know intuitively that they have a right to religious freedom but don't have experience for it. We serve as a light to them and a hope to them and also an encouragement to them to work for their own religious liberty. So it's important for us to protect our domestic religious liberty. In some ways, we look at martyrdoms around the world and we think, wow, it's profound, and it is profound. And we don't think that we can do anything about it. But even advocating, I think, here in the United States for the protection of our own religious liberty and the freedom of people to act in accord with their faith has impact around the world. And so it's a critically important issue. And as I say, I think religious liberty right now in the U.S. is kind of going to be in this partisan ping pong game for a long time.
J.D. Flynn, Editor-in-Chief of the Catholic News Agency, thanks so much for sharing this hour with us on The Church in the News.
Yeah, thank you. This was great.
And the website is, go ahead and give it where people can find Catholic News Agency.
Yeah, come check us out at catholicnewsagency.com. You can get our app, the Catholic News Agency app, wherever you get your apps.
Second best Catholic app you can get.
Facebook.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon.
I'm doing the commercial now, but check us out at catholicnewsagency.com.
Okay, and, thanks, JD. We'll see you tomorrow for Open Forum, God willing. Thanks for joining us today on Catholic Answers Live.